ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1st Creation, Chapter 3rd. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Text 28. Please repeat after me. Ete cham shakalah punsah. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam. Mrudayananti yuge yuge ete cham shakala pumsaha krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam mrudayanti yuge yuge Ete chamshakalah pumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge Chamsakala Pumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Ete cham sakalah pumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mataji Ete Chamshakala Pumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge What word? Ete All these Cha and Amsha plenary portions. Kalaha. Portions of the plenary portions. Pumsaha. Of the Supreme. Krishnaha. Lord Krishna. Tu. But. Bhagavan. The personality of Godhead. Swayam. In person. Indrari. The enemies of Indra. Vyakulam. Disturbed. Lokam. All the planets. Mridayanti. Gives protection. Yuge yuge. In different ages. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this particular stanza, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is distinguished from other incarnations. He is counted amongst the avatars, incarnations, because out of His causeless mercy, the Lord descends from His transcendental abode. Avatar means one who descends. All the incarnations of the Lord, including the Lord Himself, descend on the different planets of the material world, as also in different species of life, to fulfill particular missions. Sometimes He comes Himself, and sometimes His different plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions or His differentiated portions, directly or indirectly empowered by Him, descend on this material world to execute certain specific functions. Originally, the Lord is full of all opulences, all prowess, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. When they are partly manifested through the plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions, it should be noted that certain manifestations of His different powers are required for those particular functions. When in the room small electric bulbs are displayed, it does not mean that the electric powerhouse is limited by the small bulbs. The same powerhouse can supply power to operate large-scale industrial dynamos with greater volts. Similarly, the incarnations of the Lord display limited powers, because so much power is needed at that particular time. For example, Lord Parshuram and Lord Narsimha displayed unusual opulence by killing the disobedient Kshatriyas 21 times and killing the greatly powerful atheist Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that even the demigods in other planets would tremble simply by the unfavorable raising of His eyebrow. The demigods in the higher level of material existence many times excel the most well-to-do human beings in duration of life, beauty, wealth, paraphernalia, and in all other respects. Still, they were afraid of Hiranyakashipu. Thus, we can simply imagine how powerful Hiranyakashipu was in this material world. But even Hiranyakashipu was cut into small pieces by the nails of Lord Narsimha. This means that anyone materially powerful cannot stand the strength of the Lord's nails. Similarly, Jamadagnya displayed the Lord's power to kill all the disobedient kings powerfully situated in their respective states. The Lord's empowered incarnation, Narada, and plenary incarnation Varaha, as well as indirectly empowered Lord Buddha, created faith in the mass of people. The incarnations of Ram and Dhanvantari displayed his fame, and Balram, Mohini, Vamana exhibited his beauty. Dattatreya, Matsya, Kumar and Kapila exhibited his transcendental knowledge. Nara and Narayan, rishis, exhibited his renunciation. So all the different incarnations of the Lord indirectly or directly manifested different features. But Lord Krishna, the primal Lord, exhibited the complete features of Godhead. And thus it is confirmed that he is the source of all other incarnations. And the most extraordinary feature exhibited by Lord Shri Krishna was his internal energetic manifestation of his pastimes with the cowherd girls. His pastimes with the gopis are all displays of transcendental existence, bliss and knowledge. Although these are manifested apparently as sex love, the specific attraction of his pastimes with the gopis should never be misunderstood. The Bhagavatam relates these transcendental pastimes in the 10th canto. And in order to reach the position to understand the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, the Bhagavatam promotes the student gradually in 9 other cantos. According to Srila Jiva Goswami's statement, in accordance with authoritative sources, Lord Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. It is not that Lord Krishna has any source of incarnation. All the symptoms of the Supreme Truth in full are present in the person of Lord Shri Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord emphatically declares that there is no truth greater than or equal to himself. In this stanza, the word Swayam is particularly mentioned to confirm that Lord Krishna has no other source than himself. Although in other places, the incarnations are described as Bhagavan because of their specific functions, nowhere are they declared to be the Supreme Personality. In this stanza, the word Swayam signifies the supremacy as the Samam Bonam. The Samam Bonam Krishna is one without a second. He himself has expanded himself in various parts, portions and particles as Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakasha, Tadekatma, Prabhava, Vaibhava, Vilasa, Avatar, Avesh and Jivas, all provided with innumerable energies just suitable to the respective persons and personalities. Learned scholars in transcendental subjects have carefully analyzed the Samam Bonam Krishna to have 64 principal attributes. All the expansions or categories of the Lord possess only some percentage of these attributes, but Sri Krishna is the possessor of the attributes 100%. And his personal expansions, such as Swayam Prakash, Tadekatma, up to the categories of the avataras, who are all Vishnu Tattva, possess up to 93% of these transcendental attributes. Lord Shiva, who is neither avatar nor avesh nor in between them, possesses almost 84% of the attributes. But the jivas, or the individual living beings in different statuses of life, possess up to the limit of 78% of the attributes. In the conditioned state of material existence, the living being possesses these attributes in very minute quantity, varying in terms of the pious life of the living being. The most perfect of living beings is Brahma. The supreme administrator of one universe. He possesses 78% of the attributes in full. All other demigods have the same attributes in less quantity, whereas human beings possess the attributes in very minute quantity. The standard of perfection for a human being is to develop the attributes up to 78% in full. The living being can never possess attributes like Shiva, Vishnu, or Lord Krishna. A living being can become godly by developing the 78% transcendental attributes in fullness, but he can never become a god like Shiva, Vishnu, or Krishna. He can become a Brahma in due course. The godly living beings who are all residents of the planets in the spiritual sky are eternal associates of God in different spiritual planets called Haridham and Maheshadham. The abode of Lord Krishna above all spiritual planets is called Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan, and the perfected living being, by developing 78% of the above attributes in fullness, can enter the planet of Krishna Loka after leaving the present material body. Om Adnana Timiran Dasya Dananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadanti Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Very long purport, but today we don't have breakfast, so I think, hope you don't mind staying. So, I think this verse is in Padma Puran. Parashar Muni is giving the actual definition of who is Bhagawan, who is Purna Purushottam Bhagawan. Like, there are different great personalities, like Lord Shiva, there is also Indra, Lord Brahma, and there are so many other great personalities, but who is Bhagawan? Like Purna Purushottam Bhagawan. Bhaga means opulence, and the possessor is one. So Bhagawan, the possessor of opulence. So there are six types of opulences Parashar Muni gives. The definition of God as Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yajasa Shriyaha Jnana Vairagya Yoschaiva Sannam Bhaga Itingana. Bhagawan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the one who is full in six opulences: full strength, fame, wealth, knowledge, beauty, renunciation. Now, when these six opulences, they vary from person to person in their extents, and based on that, they are called, you know, they can be called Bhagawan. But Purna Purushottam Bhagawan, Shri Krishna, that means Krishna has all these six opulences in full. That means he has all of them in full. Itself means that he is the source of everything. Because if we, you know, try to think, what is our source? Any person may think, you know, if I go back, you know, I have a material body, I have a material father, my father has a father, he has a father, and then if we go back, you know, backwards, if we backtrack all the way, we can see that we, you know, we can go up to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma also has father. that is Lord Vishnu, because Lord Brahma was born from navel of Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu, do we end, like, that is the maximum we can go? So we have to think, like, there are many, you know, Vishnu Tattva incarnations, there are different even Vishnus. So who is that ultimate source? Source can be many, but when we are talking about the ultimate souls, ultimate source, that has to be one. Ultimate source cannot be more than one. So in this regard, you know, one disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Maharashtra, his name is Tukaram. You know, in the introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada mentions that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to South India, he initiated Tukaram. So he mentions in this regard that how to find that source. It is like a seed, you know, for example, if we take one seed of lemon. Can any one of you tell me how many trees and how many lemons are situated in one seed of lemon? In one seed of lemon, how many trees of lemon are there? And how many lemons, how many leaves, and how many branches are there in that one tiny little seed of lemon? What is the count? Innumerable, countless, in one tiny seed of lemon. We cannot understand how many lemons are there, how many trees of lemon, innumerable, infinite number. So he says, Tukaram Maharaj says that Adi Bija Ekale, Bija Ankurale, Ropa Vadale, Eka Bija Poti, Taru Koti Koti, Janma Gheti, Sumane Phale. Vyapudi Jagata Tuhi Ananta, Bahuvida Rupe Ghesi, Pari Anti Brahma Ekale. That means, the same analogy is given, that one seed has innumerable, uncountable, limitless number of trees and limitless number of fruits and flowers and leaves and branches and everything in just one tiny seed. The same way that one source is like that, that one source and everything, you know, innumerable personalities have come from that original personality of Godhead, that is Sri Hari, Sri Krishna. So that is the analogy. And then later he says that this way you have pervaded, you reside everywhere, you pervade everywhere in this way, and you take unlimited different varieties of forms. He's talking to Krishna this way. You spread yourself and you pervade everything and everyone, and you take uncountable, innumerable forms, but still you are one, you know, person. At the same time, you have your individuality. You do not lose that. So that is what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in today's verse, that Krishna is ultimately that personality of Godhead from whom everything is coming. So we know there are many stories. Like that one story when, you know, there were great many sages gathered on the bank of Saraswati. They were going to do a sacrifice called Satra. And they had different thinking that this is my God. You know, they were coming from different spiritual paths. So somebody said, you know, Ganesha is supreme and we should offer this sacrifice to Ganesha. Somebody said Lord Shiva is supreme. Somebody said Brahma. So Bhrigumuni, you know, they appointed Bhrigumuni, and Bhrigumuni went and he found out that Vishnu is the supreme. He went to Brahma and he did not pay obeisances, but Lord Brahma got offended. So he went to Kailas, to Lord Shiva, and he offended Lord Shiva with his words, "Don't come close to me, because, you know, you have been cursed by Daksha that you will act crazy, and you have become the master of ghosts and hobgoblins, so don't come close to me. So Lord Shiva got offended and he got angry. So they, you know, Bhrigu Muni thought, how can the Supreme Absolute Person get affected by the modes of material nature? So finally he went to Shvetadvip, Vaikuntha, and he kicked Lord Vishnu. He kicked Lord Vishnu when he was sleeping on the lap of Mother Lakshmi. That time he kicked. But Lord Vishnu rather, you know, he asked for forgiveness for neglecting you. I was sleeping, so I could not understand your arrival. So please forgive me. And Lord Vishnu started to massage Bhrigu Muni's lotus feet. And he said, my chest is so hard and your lotus feet are so soft. They must have been hurt. Please let me massage. And that time Bhrigu Muni started to cry. You know, he had tears of love. And that's the time he found out that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme. So this small story, you know, was told by Shukadeva Goswami in the 10th canto to Parikshit. But that time, you know, in the beginning, Shukadeva Goswami, he tells this story. But he wants to go further. He doesn't want to stop at the supremacy of Lord Vishnu. He wants to go still farther. So he goes beyond that and he tells the story that of a pastime when one time in Dwarka, one Brahmana lost his son. That the son was born and he died immediately. So naturally in those days, it was impossible for son to die before the father. When the father sees the death of the son, that means the king is impious. So because, you know, those days the kings used to be pious and they used to be responsible for all the karma and all the ruling and, you know. So that Brahman started to accuse the king of Dwarka, Ugrasen. So he brought the dead body of the son and he put it on the door of Ugrasen and he started to accuse him. The same happened second time, the same happened the third time. The child used to get the birth and the child used to cry for some time and used to die. It happened 9 times. On the 9th time, this Brahman was crying and lamenting, you know, very loudly. And Arjuna happened to be there in Dwarka. Arjuna heard this cry and he said, what kind of kingdom is this where Brahmana is crying and he's not being, you know, no one is there to take care. But that Brahmana says that everyone has already tried, but somehow I have lost 9 sons. You know, Balram has tried, Krishna has tried, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, these great personalities, they have tried to save my children, but somehow no one is able to do it. No one has been able to do it. But then Arjuna says that I will do it. I have the Gandiva bow, you know, the bow. I can protect you. But this time I, you know, vow that this time your son will be saved and I will find your sons. So this time, again, when the wife of that Brahmana was about to give birth to the 10th son, that time, you know, Arjuna was protecting the house. He created a cage of arrows and surrounded the house, you know, from all sides, top, bottom, and all the sides. He created, you know, protection. And that time, the baby was born. The baby cried for some time. And the baby disappeared in the sky and in front of everyone this happened. And then it is said that Arjuna tried his best to find out, to follow, but he could not. He went to the abode of Yamaraj. He tried to search the baby. The baby was not there. Then he went to different demigods' cities, you know, Varuna, Agni, Chandra, Vayu. He tried his best to find that son everywhere. He could not. And finally, he felt so frustrated. and he felt so hopeless. And then that Brahmana started to, you know, lament more, and he started to chastise Arjuna, saying that how fool I am that I, you know, took your words seriously. When Krishna, Balram, and these great Yadavas, Yadus, they could not help, how will you help me? How come I heard and believed this bragging of such a eunuch? So he said such, you know, harsh words to Arjuna. So Krishna also felt very bad hearing the words for Arjuna. But Arjuna was so, you know, completely in despair, he decided to enter the fire. So he created that fire, and he was about to enter that sacred fire. That time Krishna said, wait, I will find the sons. Now I will take you. I know where are the sons. And then Krishna, with his divine chariot, he took Arjuna and he started to travel towards western side. And, you know, a very nice description is given how they, you know, surpassed all the heavenly planets. Then they surpassed Brahmaloka, and then, you know, they even pierced the outer covering of Brahmanda. And then there was darkness. Nothing was visible. Then Krishna invoked Sudarshan Chakra. And with the light of Sudarshan Chakra, the horses could find the way ahead. And then they entered the waters, causal waters. And then later on they saw a, you know, beautiful place. And then they saw the serpent, Ananta Shesha. And Arjuna and Krishna, you know, they paid obeisances. And then they saw that beautiful personality, Mahavishnu, from whose pores, you know, from each pore of his body, one Brahmanda comes when he exhales. And when he inhales, all the Brahmandas go back in his body. That personality was so beautiful and very nicely described. And then Krishna and Arjuna are standing with folded palms in front of Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu ultimately says that, I brought the sons of Brahmana here because I wanted to see you, Krishna. So, you know, Krishna and Mahavishnu, they had a talk. But Arjuna, in his mind, he is thinking. And Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is specifying what was going on in the mind of Arjuna. So Arjuna is thinking, why Lord Mahavishnu has to take away the sons of a Brahmana just to see Krishna? Why does he have to do all this, so much of drama and, you know, so much of trouble to, you know, wait for the Brahmana's wife to give a birth, and then for, you know, he stole like 10 children. And that time Arjuna inquires while they were coming back that what was the reason that he wanted to, just for seeing you, just to take your darshan, just to have audience with you, Krishna, why does he have to take so much trouble? Why did he do all this? So that time Krishna replies, and, you know, the reply is specified in Hari Vamsha. Mad darshanartham te bala ritasten mahatmana viprartham eshyate krishno mat samipam nachanyatha. It was to see me that he, the supreme soul, stole the children. He believed only on a Brahmana's behalf will Krishna come to see me, not otherwise. So here we can see that audience of Krishna is even sought by Mahavishnu, who is the first Purusha. So Krishna, you know, he is even superior to Mahavishnu. So here we can see that Krishna is the primeval. He is Anadi Adi Govinda. He does not have any source, but he is the source of everything. You know, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. And he is the cause of all causes. And in Bhagavad Gita 7.7, Krishna himself mentions that Mattha Parataram Nanyat kinchid asti dhananjay. There is no truth equal or superior to me. Mai sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. Everything rests upon me like the pearls that are, you know, strung on a thread. So that's how we see that Krishna is the origin and he has 64 attributes. First expansion of Krishna is Balaram. And Srila Prabhupada once replied to the queries of his disciples that Balaram and Krishna, they are one and the same. Rather, Balaram is 98% Krishna. Now, Srila Prabhupada mentioned there are only two differences between Balaram and Krishna. First one is the bodily complexion. Balaram is fair complexion. And he is like a spring cloud complexion. And Krishna is dark, like rain cloud. And the second difference between Krishna and Balaram is, one is in the mood of Bhagavan. He is Purna Purushottam Bhagavan. And the other one is in the mood of servant. So the master and servant. That's the only two differences. And then we see from Balaram comes the first quadruple expansion. Sankarshan, Vasudev, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. From Sankarshan comes Narayan. From Narayan comes the second quadruple, that is Mahasankarshan. Maha, Vasudev and, you know, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, the second quadruple. And from that second quadruple's Mahasankarshan comes Mahavishnu. That is the first Purusha. So, you know, even Mahavishnu and Krishna, there are so many personalities in between. So, this way we can understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, also Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that out of 64 attributes, Vishnu can only have or manifest 60 attributes, which is like 93%. Lord Shiva can possess up to 55 of these attributes, which is around 84%. And all the jivas, including Lord Brahma, can possess up to 50 out of 64 of these attributes. That comes up to 78%. So we see that Krishna is, you know, he is all powerful. He has all the fame. He is full of wealth, knowledge, beauty and renunciation. Now, someone may ask the question, yeah, that's fine. Krishna has all the strength. He is full of strength, full of fame, full of wealth and knowledge, beauty, renunciation. Then, you know, how does that matter to me? Like Krishna may be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is all powerful. He has all the opulences. Then why should I care? So the point is, the most important aspect is that the reason we should care about, you know, Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna's qualities. And Krishna himself describes in Srimad Bhagavad Gita that I am your best friend. So that's why, because Krishna has all these attributes, all the opulences in full, that's not the reason we love Krishna. The reason we all love Krishna is because we come from Krishna and we are eternally related to Krishna. Krishna is our best friend. Krishna is the father from whom we have originated. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he is instructing Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. He says, go to all these people, all these materialistic people, go to their door, go door to door and preach them. Jagatera pita Krishna jena bhaje bapa pitrudrohi patakira janma janma tapa. So he says, these people have forgotten their eternal father who is waiting for them in the eternal kingdom, and he is simply awaiting the return of, you know, his children. And because you have forgotten your eternal father, that is the reason Janma janma tapa, you are suffering birth after birth because you are being rebellious to your own father. So Krishna, he is completely merciful to his fallen conditioned soul. And we see that in Prahlad Maharaj, when he was praying to Narsingh Dev, he says, Trastosme ham kripana vatsala dussahogra sansara chakra kadanargrasatam pranita baddha swakarma bhir ushattamate angri moolam pritopavarga sharanam havayase kadanu. So he says that you are most powerful and you have all the opulences, that is fine. But the most important quality that attracts me towards you is that you are kripana vatsala. You are unlimitedly merciful to kripanas, even the fallen conditioned souls who have turned their back to you, but still you are unlimitedly merciful towards them. And we see the same quality in the pure devotees of Krishna. We see the same quality, kripana vatsala. They are unlimitedly merciful to fallen conditioned souls. We see the same quality in the life of Srila Prabhupada, in the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and in the life of Jagannath, Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So one time when Srila Prabhupada, you know, later on, the hippies, they said, we are really sorry, Srila Prabhupada, now we realize what we have made you to do. We made you to come to this abominable place in New York. You were staying in, you know, Boveri. And we are really sorry to make you come here. But Srila Prabhupada said, no, this is Vaikuntha. That's Srila Prabhupada's mood. That's the mood of the pure devotee, that they are kripana vatsala. Because they are unlimitedly merciful to the fallen souls, that's the reason they come to this world. So today is the disappearance day of Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj. So I will read for very less amount of time because I think you are... So in 1849, Srila Gaur Kishor Das Babaji left Grihastha life after the death of his wife. He came to Vrindavan and he stayed in Vrindavan for 30 years. And he was Babaji. Babaji means someone who is very renounced. You know, he was so renounced that he used to only do madhukari. He used to beg door to door, and whatever people would give, only that he would eat. And he used to do madhukari only for 1 to 7 houses. If someone gives, then he would eat, otherwise he would not. He used to, you know, wear the used and thrown clothes, and he used to sometimes eat only the mud from Radha Kunda or Yamuna. He stayed in Vrindavan performing bhajan under the trees at Giri Govardhan, Nandagram, Varsana, Radha Kunda, Surya Kunda, etc. And he was always singing and chanting the names of Krishna. He used to chant 200,000 names of Krishna every day. That is like 128 rounds of japa. He felt painful separation from Radha Govinda and cried profusely. He wandered through the 12 forests of Vrindavan. He used to always, you know, mostly he used to chant this bhajan. Kothai go prema mai radhe radhe, radhe radhe go jaya radhe radhe. Dekha diya pran rakho radhe radhe. Tomar kangal tomai dake radhe radhe. Radhe Vrindavan vilasini radhe radhe. Radhe kanu mano mohini radhe radhe. Radhe Asht Sakhir Shiromani Radhe Radhe, Radhe Vrishabhanu Nandini Radhe Radhe. So he used to always chant and glorify Radha and Krishna. And after, you know, a few days, he, after spending 30 years, he had an inspiration to move to Navadvip. And he wanted to stay, you know, in Navadvip. And that's when he walked all the way. And he started staying there. So he carried two books written by Narottam Das Thakur, Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika. And on Ekadasi, he would never eat anything or even drink a drop of water. So when he went to Navadvip, he used to always associate and hear Bhagavatam from Thakur Bhakti Vinod. He never wanted to accept any disciple, but the son of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, so you know, he approached Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, but he said that, "I will think about you, I will ask Krishna if I should accept you as my disciple." So again, next day when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati went, he prayed, "Please, did you ask Krishna?" He said, "Oh no, I forgot. I'll see later." So he used to always, you know, somehow he was trying to escape from giving initiation. But finally, when he saw the determination and the intense desire of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then he accepted him as his disciple. So to keep mundane people from approaching him for material boons, he once resided in the lavatories at the Kuliya Dharmashala for 6 months. When public officials came offering to build him a proper bhajan kutir, Babaji Maharaj locked himself inside and said he already had one. He believed that associating with materialistic people was much worse than the smell of stool in the latrine. In this context, he had friends, I think kind of his, you know, Shiksha disciples, Giri Rai and his wife. They both, you know, begged to Babaji Maharaj that, "Please come and stay with us in our house. Why are you staying like this? Please come." Then he used to always say no. But when Giri Rai and his wife begged one day a lot, then he said, "I will come to your house to stay only on one condition." That condition was that I will stay in the toilet, because I do not want to, you know, be in the house. I just want to be alone and I want to chant. And he used to chant all the time in that, you know, toilet. And for him, they, you know, cleaned and made the toilet look like, you know, very, very good. Babaji Maharaj spoke gravely to newly married man. So, you know, let us see what was his instructions to various type of persons who came to him to seek guidance. For married men, he used to say, "A Vaishnava wife is extremely rare and difficult to find in this world. If one has the good fortune of having one, he should see it as a benediction from Krishna. The wife worships the husband as her lord and master. Similarly, the husband should worship the wife because she is Krishna Dasi, a servant of Krishna. In this way, the husband can protect his devotional enthusiasm by not considering his wife to be his maidservant, but she is always the maidservant of Krishna." He used to, you know, whoever comes to him, most of the times he used to fondly say that if you run after bhojan, that means palatable foodstuff, then you will miss bhajan. So he used to always quote that, "One who wants bhojana, eating palatably, will spoil his bhajana," was a favorite quote of Babaji Maharaj. In other words, eating here and there simply to gratify the tongue, bhojan, destroys any attempts to worship Krishna and his bhajan. Once a devotee ate some festival prasadam in his bhajan kutir, Babaji Maharaj would not speak to him for 3 days. On the fourth day, he said, "You accepted festival prasadam given by low-class harlots and beautiful women because you took food without considering its origin. Your bhajan is useless." The essence of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's instructions was, the divine name of Krishna offers the one and only shelter. One should never try to remember Radha Damodara's transcendental pastimes by artificial methods. Constant chanting of the divine names will purify the heart. By chanting Harinam, the syllables of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, will gradually reveal the spiritual form, qualities, pastimes of Sri Krishna. Then you will realize your own eternal spiritual form, service, and the 11 particulars of your spiritual identity. Now this is the last part, that he was so humble that to all the devotees he used to say that when I leave my body, you know, I am such an offender. When I leave my body, you should drag my dead body in all of this place. He gave this instruction, drag my body through the streets of Navadvip. That was his instruction. So when he actually left his body and went to join the eternal pastimes of Krishna on 19th November 1915, that time a group of so-called advanced devotees proposed to commit the said sacrilege. They wanted to fulfill that desire. They said, that was the desire of such a great Paramhamsa, such a great devotee, and how can we not fulfill his desire? So his body should actually be, dragged all over Navadvip, his dead body. That was their, idea. They were about to do that. But that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur arrived there. And he was like a lion. He was, lion guru. So he said, when they were about to, touch his body and there were, altercations, arguments happening. So he said that according to Shastra, one who has had carnal association with a loose woman within the last 24 hours is contaminated. And therefore, not qualified to touch my Guru Maharaj. So he said, is there anyone here who is so pure, who has not had association with a loose woman for last 24 hours, then only touch the body of my Guru Maharaj? He shouted, he roared. And just hearing his roaring like lion, those so-called karmakandi, these brahmanas, so-called jati brahmanas, they got so fearful. And then they gave up the idea and they left the scene. So that is how, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mood was. He was like a lion. He was completely fearless. When he used to preach Krishna consciousness, he used to preach like a lion. That's why he was called Lion Guru, Siha Guru. And the same mood we see in his disciple, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, whose disciples and grand disciples and followers we are all trying to and aspiring to become. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.